This episode of Film Sack is brought to you by Audible. Go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack and get your free audiobook download today.
Come with us, Michael.
Hey, Michael! Michael Emerson!
Yeah!
Come on down!
Death by Stereo. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
This episode of Film Sack is also sponsored by The Morning Stream at frogpants.com/TMS. Check out The Morning Stream every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning, 7 a.m. live, Pacific time. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the depths of film entertainment for all mankind. My name is Scott Johnson. And I'm joined tonight by Brian Frog Brothers Dunaway.
Ooh, vampire piñatas. Quick, give me a stick. They're full of glitter. Bloody, bloody glitter. Suck it, Stephanie Myers.
Whoa. Yes. Without all of that, the last part. Also with us, Randy, just drink it, Michael Jordan.
I'm gonna force a trend on Brian Ibbett. Aloha, Scott, Brian. Did you know that I once coached a team of surf Nazis? It was a crazy time, and I'm not proud of it at all. I've put it all behind me, but I just want to say Stephanie Meyer sucks.
Yeah. Beautiful. I sense a trend.
I see where you're going with that.
Also, that final voice you hear is of course Brian Antlers Through the Chest Ibbett.
You know, if the hairstyles and outfits in this movie are any indication, Billy Ray Cyrus is a vampire.
Oh,
Stephanie Meyer sucks.
Nice. And Stephanie Meyer sucks.
Meyer sucks. That's right.
SM sucks. Yeah, so there you go. We must be talking about vampires of some sort. I'm just guessing here, but
there shouldn't be sorts. Yeah. There should not be sorts. That's something we need to talk about.
Yeah, we do need to talk about it. This has its own little brand of vampires. We're, of course, talking about The Lost Boys Special Edition, and I would be remiss if I didn't allow Scott Fletcher to say something about it.
The Lost Boys Special Edition. After his brother, Michael, played by Jason Patrick, drinks blood and gets mixed up with a rough biker gang rumored to be a coven of vampires, Sam, played by Corey Fel... No, wait. Wrong Corey. Sam, played by Corey Haim, and his two vampire hunter friends, armed with garlic and water pistols full of holy water, try to rid the town of evil. Joel Schumacher directs this cult 1980s classic thriller, which co-stars Kiefer Sutherland, Jamie Gertz, Diane Wiest, Weist, West, pick a name, Corey Feldman, and Edward Herman.
All right.
Excellent.
That was great.
Best of date.
You know what? I should mention, this is the second of the two that he's done so far live in front of a audience. So he recorded these with a Ustream audience while he did it, and apparently that's a good time for everyone who's there.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, I bet.
I'm going next time because that looks like fun.
That is like fun.
Anyway, so yeah, we're talking about The Lost Boys. Schumacher is on my mind lately because I just watched Batman Forever the other day. My daughter was curious. She's like, can we watch this? I'm like, I guess. It's on Netflix streaming. Let's watch it. It's
Forever,
terrible.
Is that the one with Alicia Silverstone?
No, that was Batman and Robin, and that is also bad, and also a Schumacher joint.
Yeah.
What's interesting about the Batman movies is, for him anyway, is that they're sandwiched between his pretty good work on the Grisham novel movies. Mm-hmm. So you had The Client, then you had Forever, then you had
Time to Kill,
which I really liked.
Oh yeah.
And then you had Batman and Robin, and then you had kind of a break where we didn't see much of Schumacher. And then he did what I think is my favorite movie that he's ever done. And maybe this may be one of my favorites he's done, by the way, this movie we're talking about today. But I love The Phone Booth with Colin Farrell.
I love that.
It's a great movie.
As much as I know we're going to bag on Joel Schumacher, it's not impossible for him to make a good movie.
No, he's a half and half, dude. He's like weird milk. He can do. he can do like.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, he's like, ooh, gritty, tense drama. Okay, let's start working on the Batman movie. Bad acting, nipples, ridiculous car. What else can we come up with? Like, he didn't seem to know which way to go. But when he hits it, he hits it, you know, pretty strong. And I like, and then when I like
he,
Schumacher.
And then when he misses, he hits, you know, the number 23.
Oh, completely. Oh, yeah, that was.
It's funny how many of these movies he came out with in the late 80s and 90s that I didn't realize were him, because I love Flatliners.
Yeah, Flatliners. That's great.
Movie. Very underrated movie.
He seems to take actors that he's worked with previously and bring them up into other films. And I don't know if that's on purpose or it just happens to cast that way. But Sutherland went along to do Flatliners, of course. Yeah. And he
Falling
was in this.
Falling Down, another great one.
Yeah, Falling Down is actually should be on our list. This show, but what else he did? Jim Carrey, who was in Batman Forever, showed up in that number 23 garbage. Mm-hmm. He did 8mm, which was
great movie.
It was a little bit of a toss-up.
I didn't care for it.
Didn't like that one. I always thought that.
Then we got to review that one.
I always thought that was a different director, but so that surprised me.
To call anything that ever starred Nicolas Cage a great movie. I mean, really, it's really difficult to find.
Raising Arizona,
movie.
My friend.
Yeah, I'll give you Raising Arizona.
Great movie, like an important film.
It is. How about Matchstick Men? That was a great movie.
horrible.
I loved Matchstick Men.
Any credence that
movie?
I had with Raising Arizona is completely gone by the mention of Matchstick Men.
You guys did not like Matchstick Men.
I hated that.
Is that the one where he finds out he has a daughter and he's a
con
bankrupt.
Man and he's doing it with what's his name, who I also love. And it's a freaking what's his name movie, a Ridley Scott film. You guys are nuts. That movie's great. Oh my gosh.
No. Matchstick Men is a great book. Trust me. Get the book and read it or listen to the audiobook. Right. It is a really good book. The movie, not so much.
I love the movie. And it reviewed well. You guys are smoking crack.
I'm not mad at the movie. Like, I will watch anything with Sam Rockwell, and I've watched some junk with Sam Rockwell because I think he can do no wrong. I'm just saying Matchstick Men is a mediocre film. Mediocre Ridley Scott joint, great book.
All right, fine. Jason Patrick.
Like, Lost Boys must be really good because we haven't even talked about it yet.
I know.
Jason Patrick, Corey Haim, Diane Wiest. We talked about all these people, but Jason Patrick, most well known in my mind for being the grandson of Jackie Gleason, and then also in that terrible Speed sequel.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And for now, looking a little weird on imdb.com.
he looks
a little weird, but you know what? He hasn't really slowed down. He's got us some decent credits and, you know, been working. He's not a big bankable grade A star anymore, but
you know what Jason Patrick looks like in every movie and picture of him is a vampire.
Kind of. Yeah. Like, I'm not sure he isn't one. Even that photo on IMDb. Here's Corey Haim, our second Corey Haim and Corey Feldman film. This is their first together, actually. So
No surprise there.
Yeah, we'd mentioned that before. Barnard Hughes, who played Grandpa, was in Tron. So don't forget that guy. Yeah,
he was the old bit.
Yeah, the one that died.
I just know you capped a lot of sounds of him because he's so prototypical old guy.
Yeah, a fair amount. But he's got that voice where I felt like at any moment he could say, well, let's go down to the chocolate factory and find out, Charlie. You know, he's got that kind of that thing, that whatever that is, that grandpa thing, and he did it pretty well.
He's so prototypical grandpa. His character in the movie is named Grandpa.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Like his daughter and kids or last name is Emerson. Maybe that's his last name, maybe not. We'll never know.
Grandpa Emerson. She calls him Dad, I think twice. Making fun of him. I have a couple of clips actually of him saying that, but for the most part, he's Grandpa and he wears Windex for cologne.
I love that.
Edward
that
Herman.
That was so 80s.
I loved Edward Herman. Still do. He's great. He was Max, and there's something about that guy. He's the adult in 80s movies, but I think it may just be this one movie I think of.
I don't know why he reminds me of John Hughes.
Yeah, a little bit. Got the fold over hair, the really bad shirts. Pants are too high, all that stuff. He looks a lot like John Hughes. That's very interesting. He may even be in another John Hughes movie. I didn't look.
That's what I was. I was just glancing to see, but no.
Jack Bauer is in this movie. And for my money, Kiefer Sutherland is still completely badass looking in this movie.
Dude,
I know the hair's a little nuts, but it's he is really cool in this.
I was very entertained by Kiefer Sutherland in this movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was I was probably better off watching it now than 20 years ago.
You want to get the willies from Kiefer?
You did see it 20 years ago, though, right?
Oh,
I am certain that I saw this movie when it came out. I couldn't remember much of it. I just remembered little bits and pieces, like Jason Patrick and Jamie Gertz getting it on.
Yeah. Ooh, Jamie Gertz.
That'll stick with you.
She's still pretty cute, even now. She's not a very good actress, though.
No, she's in that stupid comedy with that guy that I can't remember the name of.
That one thing in that one movie? That time.
Yeah, that thing on the WB or the UPN or whatever channel that you don't watch.
Oh, right. What was that called? We're not going to worry about it now, but I know what you're talking about. Oh, sorry. Sorry, that is, by the way, Scott Fletcher making a noise, and I have it at the ready, and I clicked it by accident, but maybe we'll hear
it. You really do have it at the ready, then.
Yeah.
We'll hear this.
An episode of Modern Family, and she did a really good job.
Yeah, she was recently on Modern Family. So she wasn't the one that came back from high school and was creeping Phil out.
She was the maniac driver.
Oh, yeah,
slow down your neighbors.
The Phil stalker was that chick.
Slow down your neighbors.
From who was the? It doesn't matter. We're not talking about that movie anywhere. That TV show anyway. But Jamie Gertz still looking good. Corey Feldman, Jameson Newlander played Alan Frog. He hasn't done jack except for apparently. Okay, a little bit of news for everybody. Last year, I didn't know about this. A sequel to this movie was made, or another one. Called, I have it right here.
Actually, this is a true sequel. The other one was a prequel.
The Tribe? No, The Thirst.
The Thirst.
Well, this isn't a prequel, right? Because Feldman's old in it.
This is post. Yeah, this is supposed to be after.
So the big two stars of that movie are Corey Feldman and the dude that played Alan Frog.
Yeah.
That's terrible. But I kind of want to see it.
Kiefer Rumich said, when asked if he would be in the movie, he said, hell no.
He said, hell no? You want to see creepy Kiefer Sutherland? Go watch Stand By Me again.
He is the baddest guy in that movie. And that was before I knew who Kiefer was.
I love him.
I remember just
always been a fan, always will be a fan. I know he's had personal issues. I don't care. The guy is cool. I like
him as a badass. He is badass.
He's weirdly badass. Like, he shouldn't be so badass.
No.
Because he's just kind of a squirrely. He's kind of short in real life. He looks like his dad, and his dad's ugly as hell. Ugly, one of the ugliest actors in Hollywood, in my opinion. Donald Sutherland, dude.
Is that
ugly?
An award?
And I don't just mean old. Like, go back and watch the MASH movie and you'll go, oh, Donald. Seriously. Ugly, ugly man. And Sutherland somehow pulls it off. I don't know how he does it, but Kiefer's the man, and I thought he was just bad A in this movie. And I just thought he was my favorite part of all of it.
My only problem with him is that you constantly had this feeling that he was just gonna reel off and tongue kiss Jason Patrick.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh. You know, that's a fair assessment.
I thought
actually.
Corey Haim was going to do that.
Dude, Corey Haim.
You know, the two of them shared Julia Roberts.
Nice.
so to speak. Not simultaneously.
Yeah, they kind of did.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's weird. You mean they both rode the horse in Seabiscuit?
You had to go there.
I had to take it there again. All right, here's some. We actually have a movie of trivia this week. Oh, go ahead.
One more casting note. Alex Winter. One of the other punker, surf punks, but one of the other vampire punks.
Oh, Bill. Yeah.
Bill from Bill and Ted. Yeah.
Yeah, that's totally. Right. We can't forget that. Bill and
his
Bill
only,
from Bill and
his
Ted.
His only other really notable role.
And he had like
and,
two
and
lines
no,
in it.
No, exactly. Hardly no lines at all. I think he was like, yeah, Michael. Yeah. I think that's about it.
Drink it.
Before we get off the cast, can I talk about the trope of lazy names?
Trope of lazy names. Hold it. Give us the trope of lazy names.
So the smart brothers who know what's really going on in town are named Edgar and Allan.
Edgar Allan Poe. Yeah, got it.
Right. Yep. The let's see, the people who are resisting or have angelic names like Michael and Samuel.
David,
I mean, it's
Laddie and Star.
Really, really lazy names in this movie.
Laddie and Star, dude. The Adventures of Laddie and Star should be the next sequel.
It really feels like they went to someone's 12-year-old kid and asked her to name all the characters.
Yeah, I'm with you there. The names are goofy, but here's some actual trivia in this movie. Last year when we did Time Cop, because, we jump forward in time. There was hardly any, but this one has a bunch. The original screenplay...
Can't go in forward in time. Yeah, that's totally wrong.
No doubt.
It hasn't happened yet.
The original screenplay written by Janice Fisher and James Jeremias was originally about a bunch of Goonie-type 5th and 6th grader kid vampires. with the Frog Brothers being chubby 8 and chubby 8-year-old Cub Scouts. The star being a boy instead of a love interest, excuse me.
Yeah.
Schumacher hated that idea so bad, Mr. Nipple Batman hated it so bad that he told the producers he would only sign on as director if they would change him to teenagers. And he thought it would be much more sexy and interesting. I'm with him.
I hate that both these movies couldn't have been made.
Couldn't have been or could be?
I wish they both had been made.
Like a youngster Goonies type vampire movie?
Brian would answer that if he didn't just disconnect. Oh, there he is.
That's why I tried to stall to see.
Sorry, Brian, you there?
That would be awesome.
Oh,
I think we should make both of these movies.
You were petering out. Now you sound great.
Yeah.
excellent.
Brian, don't put your peter out while we're recording.
Yeah, please. Both Corey Feldman, who plays Edgar Frog, and Barnard Hughes, although that name's wrong. Did that guy change his name? Anyway.
Barnard.
Who plays Grandpa, share the same birthday, July 16th. So I'm sure that was a hell of a party.
That's a great piece of trivia right there. You can't get much more trivial.
Yeah, it's pretty trivial. The movie invented the phrase vamp out, which has been passed on into common usage on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And I'm here to tell you this. Buffy the Vampire Slayer stole way more from this than I thought.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Like the eyes and the foreheads and all that. Mm-hmm. Like when you're in pissed off vampire mode.
You know, Josh missed to it. He says this was a huge influence.
Did he? I'd never read.
Yeah.
I would like to say that Buffy the Vampire Slayer stole the motif of having people snatched up from where they're sitting, but you don't see what grabbed them. And then I just realized, no, that's just cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. That's look how much money we saved on special effects.
Because the camera did it. Looks like the camera did it. He spent that money later on fake nipples. Keenan Wynn and John Carradine, a veteran of vampire films, were both original choices for Grandpa. Wynn died the night before filming.
Well, he's out.
And Carradine was ill, so they picked, you know, Barnard Hughes. They're like, all right, get that guy from Tron. It's fine. Characters in the movie say the name Michael 118 times.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah. Yeah. And Corey Haim is responsible for about 100 of those.
Yeah, totally.
Michael.
He wouldn't shut up.
With his mouth open.
I'm on drugs. The kid
may have had, well, obviously Corey Haim had all kinds of problems, but he had a charm to him.
Oh, absolutely.
It could have gone far had he not, filled his body with toxic waste.
I thought he did a good
waste.
Job in this movie.
Yeah, he was all right.
I thought Corey Haim was good.
Yeah, he was all right.
I felt weird about Corey Haim, though, because this was something that you wouldn't see in a more modern movie, but I couldn't really tell how old he was supposed to be portraying. Mm. Could you guys really tell? Like, is he supposed to be 12? Because he doesn't really act interested in girls.
He played young and he played nerd.
Yeah, physically he's too old for what he's kind of playing as, so it was... I don't know.
Old enough or young enough that he needs to be told to go take a bath.
Right.
Yeah. And he's singing in the bathtub. It was kind of weird.
Yeah. And he had no hair in his pitch yet. I'm not that I'm saying I watch for that sort of thing. I'm just saying.
I thought that was actually a scene that I remembered very clearly from my, from my first viewing of the film when I was a kid, because I used to do that. I used to be sent to the bathtub and I'd take my radio in there and the dog and sit in the bathtub for hours because, what else was I going to do? My parents didn't have cable.
They kind of plays like an 8-year-old, but he was close to 14 here, I think.
Well, I think today's 8-year-old, maybe.
Yeah.
But back then, 8-year-olds were barely, they probably still pooping their diapers. I don't know. It would be 80s.
Yeah. Young enough to not be interested in girls, but old enough to have a naked Rob Lowe or a shirtless Rob Lowe.
Oh, my gosh. What the
hanging
hell?
On this closet door.
Well, I know what it was. So Schumacher directed St. Elmo's Fire, right? And that was the movie he did maybe just prior to this.
Yeah.
So we know why Schumacher is in love with Rob Lowe and is expressing that via a little kid. Why is he in love with Jim Morrison?
Oh, I know. Vampires dig on the Jim Morrison. Yeah. But that, okay, stop. We got to talk about this. That Echo and the Bunnymen version of When You're Strange, or what?
Yeah.
That is
People
so
are strange.
People are strange. I'll just go ahead and change the title. That is such a great rendition of that song.
It is.
So Brian Ibbett, king absolutely. Of all covers, you should send that to the rest of us.
Okay, I will.
Okay, get on that. Do you have any cool info about covers in the film?
Oh, yeah, tons of covers in the film. So the NXS and Jimmy Barnes song, Gonna Have a Good Time Tonight, that one.
Yeah, sing some more, Ibbett.
No, that's all right. That's all you're getting. is a cover of a song by the Easy Beats, another Australian band. Mm. The one they hear on the bandstand, or like when he's walking through the carnival area, with the giant muscular dude playing the saxophone.
You know that is.
I have a clip of that. Who is it?
Go ahead, Brian.
You know that is, right?
No.
Who is that?
Well, I'm figuring Ibbot knows because he was well known for his muscularity and saxophoning. He was.
I know it's Tim Capello, but I don't know Tim Capello. Anything more about Tim Capello.
Yeah, what about him?
Well, that's what he was known for during that time, for going out and he used to open up for.
He's an actual performer that did this thing.
He plays a lot of musical instruments.
if you think you can convince me that that wasn't the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. You just keep trying.
That was not Shawn Michaels.
Folks, if you haven't seen this movie, imagine Shawn Michaels circa 1995, shirtless, wearing tights, playing a saxophone, singing into a microphone.
Yeah, but this was 87. There's no way that was him. That was like some other dude.
It is freakish how much he looked like Shawn Michaels late 90s.
All right, I'll give you that. All right.
But anyway, so that's a cover of The Call's I Still Believe. So a lot of great, a lot of good covers in this. I wouldn't call that one a good cover because it really, the only thing really changes is adding a saxophone and a greased up bodybuilder guy.
So who did this? Who did the Miss Must Fall or whatever that weird like.
Gerard McMahon.
That was
who,
great.
Yeah, that's a great song. And he actually did a new version of that, a more modernized version of it, kind of a recover, if you will. Mm. Of that same song on a newer album, and I've played that on Coverville as well.
Yeah, so you're cool. You're talking about the theme from the movie, which is like this movie's Meet Me Halfway.
Kind of.
Yeah. No, kinda, they don't
have it. Right, because they reprise it a couple times.
But it's used as such great effect. Like during Kiefer's death, spoiler, if you haven't been around for the last 25 years, Kiefer's death was punctuated by that music, and it really, I found that super effective.
As was the scene where Jason Patrick and Jamie Gertz have sex. And and
there was music during that part?
Yes, very much.
I couldn't hear anything.
Their souls.
All the blood had rushed out of my head. Oh, never mind.
The film depicted their souls flying in the sky to that song.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, like, wow. You when you're playing a song where the Ten Commandments are sung as lyrics while two, you know, tweens have sex. You're onto something.
Yeah. Interesting. How old would Gertz would have been?
The Ten Commandments that fit in the pentameter that they needed there.
How old were they supposed to be? I assumed high school, but I mean, she would have been like 21, 22 then.
Yeah, they were supposed to be.
But that's what, I mean, right.
He was still going to school. Yeah. He was still going to school
because
she
had threatened
him. Things are going to change when school starts back.
Yeah, that's right. So they're supposed to be high school kids, I'm guessing. And no one ever looks like they're in high school when they're supposed to be in high school. They all look older than they are because they are older, damn it. I mean, they're all pushing 50 now.
Yeah.
So, right. Of course, they weren't in high school. I hate that. I should do it.
No, by the way, Capello was in We Don't Need Another Hero. Tina Turner, remember that from Mad Max?
We don't need you were saying acting in it?
Yeah, he was actually in the video. I remember that's what I'm thinking.
So he's a big dude with probably a mask and a... He's probably the guy he's probably the guy walking around with the midget on his back.
Master Blaster.
Yeah. I'll bet he is. Which, by the way,
Bartertown?
Isn't that dude, Randy, help me here. It's a wow question. Isn't that what they're trying to do in Old War? That guy you always repair with? There's a troll or there's an ogre with a goblin on his back and his name like something like that.
Yeah. And that's there's several instances of that in World of Warcraft.
Yeah, I love that.
That's not the only one. There's several times where there's a gnome riding on the back of a, you know, something bigger.
Yeah, the Shredders are kind of like that as well. Yeah.
Something much, much larger.
Trying to think of something other than an ogre. Never mind.
Okay, where am I now? Did I do all the stuff? Oh, no, I didn't. So when Max first arrives at Sam, Lucy, and Michael's house for dinner, he does not enter until invited by Michael. I caught that and thought that was great because, you know, there's this, and maybe this is where we can talk about this a little bit, but the idea that vampires can't come into your home unless invited, right? Mm-hmm. That was handled really, really well. Yeah. But my problem is, because that was great. It's like this, oh yeah, he didn't even notice he did it. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. And he's in the house now. But then all the other things you're supposed to do to vampires that work aren't working on him, including holy water. Right. But later, holy water works real good.
Right, exactly.
Just on the... the underlings.
Yeah, but why? Right. So I'm because what I'm so saying is they're operating under their own rule sets, and that drives me crazy.
They're making the rule claim that once he was invited into the house, he was protected from all of that stuff.
Okay.
And my favorite thing about that is that the Dodge spokesman says, you're the man of the house, or will you invite me in? And I'm like, no, he's not. Grandpa's the man of the house.
It's freaking Grandpa's house.
That's exactly what I thought when I heard that. I was like, no, he's not.
Yeah. That was weird.
Nice.
I fear Brian is breaking up again. Oh.
Oh, there he goes.
There he goes. That's all right. The new Skype is good at this.
I think this was the first movie where at least the first movie where I heard the thing about, you know, if you invite a vampire can't enter your home unless you invite him in.
Well, I'd never even heard of this until this movie.
Like really? That idea. Watched True Blood?
No. I'm saying back when I saw it the first time.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. This is the first time I'd heard or seen it too.
Yeah, in True Blood, they do it all the time, but it's super obvious. It's like, Sookie, I can't come into the house unless you invite me in, Sookie.
That's right.
Well, to the point where she even says, I no longer invite you in the house, and he flies out of the house.
Yeah. Damn it, Sookie.
I hate that. Yeah, wouldn't that be fun at a dinner party? Just to mess with somebody who you knew was a vampire?
Yep.
So, everybody, the roast beef's coming along nicely. Anybody want some more wine? Hey, Brian, you're uninvited.
I'm out of here. He'd say this. This is the sound he'd make. And then he'd leave.
Man, I hate it when you do that to me.
And finally, let's see. We already know about the Feldman-Corey thing. Let's see. Kiefer Sutherland is impaled on a pair of antlers and did not disintegrate like the other vampires did. Despite what Max later says, he is not really dead. This was intended to be picked up as a sequel called The Lost Girls, which was scripted but was never made.
Like antlers are like skin or hair. They're not
wood. No, they're not wood at all. So if he didn't die, I would have liked to have seen this Lost Girls with Kiefer in charge, a little harem job going there where he's now the head vampire because the old man dies, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That would have been a great sequel.
So would it still look like a 2-hour MTV music video?
Yeah,
probably. But you know, one of the things I like about the movie, so we're talking about the When You're Strange going on at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
It's that montage of everybody kind of being weird out in the park and teenagers doing teenagery things and strange people in hoods and makeup and piercings and everything. That stuff was really great. Like that all looked great. It made you go, okay, they're moving to a really, you know, like it was super effective. Once again, we have a film that's better in its first few minutes than it kind of holds up for the rest of the movie. That being said, I still think this holds up pretty good. It's way 80s. The story is super way more simple than I remember it being. But on the whole, like how it's filmed, how it's and maybe part of that special edition, because I didn't see anything else that looked like extra footage or anything.
Mm-hmm.
There was extra, there was more blood or something. I don't
they
know.
Lingered on Kiefer a little longer.
Yeah, maybe. Nice.
I'm going to make a declaration here. FilmSack has uncovered a few great truths about mediocre films. Mm. And this one is very clear. And that is when you're about to make a mediocre film, it's like when you're about to do a huge project around the house and you really do your best work at first.
Yeah.
Only.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Blow it out.
Well, you wonder, I mean, how often is that second unit? How often is that filmed later? You know, I don't know. I don't know how they do that, but it just seems like these movies end up with better starts than they do
anything the rest of the movie.
Right. And maybe you have to start strong. Maybe that's in post where they're going, oh shit, this is really bad. We should put nipples on the suits. No. Let's have a big montage at the beginning with an awesome version of a song. Oh yeah, that's a good idea. And then they put it in. I don't know. But whatever it is, it's the strength of these movies are often in those first 10 minutes. And I don't understand why you wouldn't try to at least carry that momentum, and other films do, obviously. But
which is just the opposite of what you're really taught. It's like you always want to have your best at the end because you want people to word of mouth get out there and pass it back on. So just the opposite of what you would think.
Yeah, you would think that.
You would think that. Yeah. I would think that.
No, not you. I don't mean you.
Wah. All right.
I never get tired of that. I will play that till the end of my days. So what else? This is great. The merry-go-round sequence. It foreshadowed the order in which the Lost Boys would die.
Whoa.
Marco first, actually his mullet first, then Marco, Paul second, Dwayne third, and then David last. And that's how they walked through there. That's kind of cool. I like that kind of
Easter egg. So at the very beginning when you see them each kind of individually go in front of the camera.
Yeah. Again, in that whole section where that was better than the rest of the movie. Like those guys sauntering around like that, looking all bad A, just creepy, walking through,
You guys get off the boardwalk.
Merry-go-round. That was great.
Come on, boys.
That guy got his later, didn't he, that sheriff?
Oh, yeah, like 2 minutes later by a descending cameraman.
Yeah, absolutely. Suck him right up. Dude didn't even have his keys out or nothing and would still have trouble opening that door.
Mm. Pulled it right off, though.
Yeah.
So, all right. Corey Feldman, by the way, got top billing because he was alphabetically first.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of weird. I guess it was kind of smart having all that young talent there. Yeah. Going, screw it. We can't top bill anybody. Everybody is about the same.
Yeah, so they put, I like alphabetical billing, but because it's just a kind of a fairness thing. But when Corey Feldman is number one in your alphabet,
then
it kind of bothers me because then it's like, well, okay, this is okay if we're not talking about Corey Feldman because Corey Feldman freaking sucks in this movie.
Yes.
He is terrible. He's laughable. He's laughable in all the wrong ways.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Line delivery is completely, it feels like he's reading from a script. It doesn't feel natural at all, and it completely distracts you from the movie.
This is totally not Dream a Little Dream, so.
That's true.
It's really made me scratch my head because I distinctly recall liking him when I was a kid. I really remember being very entertained by him and thinking he was very cool. And I mean, I'm not saying that kids are any good at judging, you know, films, but I'm just scratching my head like, was he really this bad?
Maybe he was this bad in this.
Yeah. But in Stand By Me, he was great. And in Goonies, I thought he was really good.
Yeah.
But in this, for whatever reason, I think it's just the director, you know, Joel Schumacher said, all right, feel free to go over the top with this one. And he did. And
he was pretty much non-existent to me in this movie for the most part.
Well, I mean, when he showed up, he made me, you can bet I got a few clips of Feldman saying things. Mm-hmm. Because when he did say them, they were intentionally or otherwise not, you know, pretty funny. But I like him now. Like, I haven't seen any movies recently, but I've seen him on some TV stuff. I think he's a really likable guy. I just think
he's very mature now.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's that. Let's do a trope. Dog comes out and screws them all up. Brian Dunaway, this is your trope. Tell us what you think about that.
Typical, always a kid or a dog or some kind of animal always runs out and everybody has to run out and get the dog to save the dog because some kid is attached to the dog.
Yeah.
And they always run out and try to
save it. They value the dog's life over their own.
Yeah, screw that.
As a kid, though, so let's go back. I'm trying to think of any. I was really close to a couple of dogs growing up, and I can't remember if I would have, you know, put myself in such utter peril for the life of the dog.
Yeah,
I don't think.
No,
I would.
You would have considered the dog the best fighter you've got. Go out there and get the vampires, Poochie.
Probably, probably. Mm-hmm. That was a big old Nanook was a freaking like a husky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he already showed his
an Eskimo. Husky, yeah. It was an Eskimo.
Eskimo is all
white. I thought
it
was a dog.
Right. He means Eskimo husky. Doesn't mean like the dude in the coat.
Oh, there's an Eskimo husky? Yeah. I thought those were Samoyeds, or is that a different thing?
I don't know. They have a word.
This is not the dog show.
Apparently, we don't. I don't know that world.
And then what's an Akita? I'm confused.
That's a Japanese hunting dog. I used to have one of those.
An Akita?
Mm-hmm.
Akita.
Most loyal dog.
Do you put those things together yourself?
Yes, his name was Carl. I got him in a flat pack box.
Carl the Akita. Wow. All right. Give me another chance to play that. By the way, speaking of mullets, I thought Bill's was the most egregious from Bill and Ted, but everybody else was fine. They all kind of looked cool to me. Mm-hmm. It was definitely the era, but Sutherland's thing was kind of a weird, like that was his own deal. I didn't feel like it. I didn't feel like they were trying to just be, look at this cool hairband looking biker leader. He looked like his own guy.
My favorite vampire was the Santa vampire. When they came down the chimney, he was awesome.
What?
What?
When did that happen?
Remember that?
No.
When they blocked everything off except for the freaking fireplace and one of them comes down the fireplace.
Oh, right. You're right. The one that ended up in the tub.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one that got in the tub. Oof. I wonder if the special edition just meant all the blood and guts we couldn't show in the theater. Because it had its moments.
It was rated R, and honestly, it may have been PG-13 to me. Mm-hmm. Was this pre-PG-13, Randy?
No, 87 was after, 84 or 85, right?
It seems like the reason it was called special edition was because the Blu-ray had a bunch of extras. I don't think the film itself had any extras. Well,
you asked that yesterday. You were like, I don't think anything's different in this movie.
Maybe it was digitally remastered or something.
Maybe. Could be. Yeah, because I certainly don't remember any differences, and I've seen that movie a bunch of times. The first time, Karen Kulikowski, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Brian Ebbett watches this movie every year on January the 19th.
That's right. It's
you're like me with Waterworld.
That's right. It's my annual event.
Keep that up. I think that's great. Maybe this version has CGI additional muscle sweat on the saxophone playing wrestler man. Maybe that's it.
The Shawn Michaels. Mm. Heartbreak Kid.
Okay. I guess we have another one of these. The clueless mother syndrome that these films seem to have. She's obviously a caring mom. She's interested in her son's welfare. There's some horrible divorce that's happened. She's trying to do right, go to a new place, get a job, get her back on her feet, living with her dad temporarily. Yet she is completely oblivious to what is supposedly the highest crime rate in the world in this stupid city town.
Which murder is, capital. Yeah.
Yeah, which as far as I can tell consists of old man farm, the boardwalk, and a cave under the ocean.
that apparently still gets Chinese food delivered to
right.
it. Yeah. Right, yeah. And happens to be straight down the beach from the boardwalk.
Yeah.
Straight down the beach.
I noticed these guys, that.
You get slick. On your motorcycle and just go that way for 5 minutes, you're in the cave.
Yeah, plus the motorcycle thing was also a little bit weird. Like sometimes they were riding them, sometimes they seemed like they were, but then they actually flew there. Sometimes they were right out front until you kicked the window open and then they were gone.
All right, guys, I would like to take the time this week to talk about Audible. Audible is a fantastic sponsor for Film Sack. I have recently finished rereading one of my favorite audiobooks to come out in a long time, and that is the recent Earth, A Visitor's Guide to the Human Race by Jon Stewart and The Daily Show. The book is read by Jon Stewart and the cast of The Daily Show, as well as narrated by Sigourney Weaver. And it is hysterical. It's a left behind document of humanity, and it's left behind for the aliens that will discover the Earth long after we're gone. So funny. You've got to get it. And you can get it for free by joining Audible with us. All you have to do is go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack and get started looking at their tens of thousands of audio programs. It's a great service. Just go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack.
Did any of you guys notice that the motorcycles switched from street tires to knobby tires depending on the terrain?
Awesome, though.
Awesome.
That's great. Because when they were racing them off that cliff?
Just every other scene, the tires on the motorcycles were different.
Yeah. Did not notice that.
Kiefer Sutherland. He is a badass.
He's magic.
All right. And then what else? Back to Clueless Mother. I just don't understand why it's so prominent. Like, why can't you make her at least... It isn't until the last 3 minutes of the movie that she's cued in. And how is she clued in? Because he goes all Buffy the Vampire face on her. Nothing else was a kickoff that your son's freaking out or that he's wearing sunglasses all day and that nobody, you don't believe anything your other kid's saying. And then there's a dude laying there dead with two antlers sticking out of his chest. And your entire upper floor is just a big flooded, bloody toilet mess.
I know. The whole house was red. Who took all the lights out and replaced them with red bulbs?
I know.
That was bizarre. Yeah. Could you even do that? Is there a single red light in your house? If you were challenged for $1 million to turn your house red?
Not even. I can't even think of a Christmas bulb I could jam in anywhere.
Yeah. But, this is the adults are stupid trope, and it's almost subverted by this film because of the fact that there's only one stupid adult in it. You know, the other adults are the leader of the vampires and grandpa, who turns out to be very savvy about what's going on, which we all expect. You know, you can see that's telegraphed a mile away. Yeah. But the thing about adults are stupid that always bugs me is that we all know it's not up to kids to save us from anything. Like from Paranormal Activity, it's up to Mulder and Scully to save us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that would be a really interesting film if just once all these kids were aligned to save the town. And some adults just showed up out of the blue and shot the vampires and walked off.
It did it. That would be funny. And the kids be like, what the hell?
Maybe it was because I was in the middle of being a teenager when this movie, I mean, I was in high school when this came out. I think that it was lost on me at the time, but I didn't realize it was so allegorical to peer pressure and sort of comparing vampire progression with puberty, basically.
Yeah.
Like,
and this is in that huge that huge no drugs period in the United States. You know, the late 80s, early 90s, the anti-drug campaigns were everywhere.
And that's why Corey Haim was smoking pot during this movie.
Yeah, probably was. And more than that, probably eating E while he's off camera, for all we know. But what I'm getting at is, like, and you're totally right, like the anti-drug sort of environment of the time, you know, it's like this bottle of forbidden kefir blood. Mm-hmm. And it's in the way they, I don't know, it's just so on the nose. At the time, I just thought, yeah, vampires, woo! And now I go, oh, you're just teaching us a lesson. That's all you're doing. That's all that is. Freaking adults.
Oh, don't do drugs. I get it.
Okay, fine. Don't do Jack Bauer's blood. I get the message.
Oh, can I? This is a perfect time for me to, I want to ask you guys around the table, what's your favorite example of a vampire doing something supernatural in this film? Because there was a ton of it.
I'm going to say supernatural.
Yeah.
Ooh. That's
I would have to say when he's using the Jedi vampire tricks on him. Yeah. It was very subtle.
Yeah, but that's like glamoring or whatever.
Voice of command. That was going to be my answer, is Kiefer Sutherland and his voice of command.
It was very subtle. Unless you knew vampire lore, it did not smack you in the face.
Well, I mean, it was pretty obvious when it was like, how do you like those maggots?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're not maggots. They're just mice.
That was pretty weird.
Yeah, that was one of the most memorable parts of the movie.
For me, it's probably the motorcycles making wind. And again, that's not, there's no lore for that.
That's true.
But it got all windy outside and it's rear, and I'm thinking, man, those things are awesome.
All of a sudden, you realize why Jason Patrick's hair is so long. You know, the stylist for the film said it must be so.
But it does bother me, and may as well bring it up again. And it's a bit of a trope, so we'll just give it a bit of a ding-dong-diddly.
Ding-dong-diddly.
That this movie has this thing in it that I hate about vampire movies, which is, let's just change their vulnerabilities or their powers willy-nilly to suit the scene. So one minute they can do this thing, but the other minute they can't. One minute they have super strength, and that would have totally solved the problem later if they would just used it again, but he didn't. I mean, is it on cooldown? Like, what the hell is that?
Yes, actually, it's on cooldown. that's a pretty good idea, actually.
Guess? Yeah, I think we've mentioned that before, this idea that it's a great way. You could actually explain a lot of stuff in a lot of bad movies away with cooldowns, because, like, oh, you already were super strength? Oh.
They use cooldowns in How to Train Your Dragon.
I'm still
shoot fire so many times.
Right. That's right. Yep.
They had to build that back up. I guess men have a cooldown, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
The cooldown gets longer and longer as we get older.
That's right. Anyway. So there's that. What else? My favorite quote in the thing was flies go with the undead like bullets go with guns. That was a great line.
I liked it. That was a great line.
Since Fletcher didn't record that, I thought I'd just pull that out.
Yeah.
I like things like stealing water out of the water fountain.
That was
water.
Pretty funny. That was pretty funny. That was pure blatant for humor. That was a lot of the stuff that was supposed to be funny, but I just didn't find it as funny as
Is it accepted lore that if you drink the blood of a full vampire, you'll become a half one until you kill somebody?
I've never heard of that.
Okay.
This is the only place I've ever heard that.
I kind of liked it.
It's good lore. Yeah.
Until you make your first kill. But then, all right. So when Jason Patrick kills Kiefer Sutherland, wouldn't that be his first kill?
Why he was all vampired out.
No, because he was a vampire.
Well, no, but when he was fighting him, he had the fangs and the eyes came out. So there's a disconnect there. I don't know what that meant. But if they would have kept with the story, he could have maybe still had kind of his half vampire stuff, because he did get the googly eyes out in the camping thing where all those guys got slaughtered and he was in the tree watching it.
Mm-hmm.
So he got his eyes then. So I guess I'm okay with that. But to have the fangs come out kind of blows it. If he just kept those in until Kiefer, well, then Kiefer wasn't really dead because the Lost Girls was going to get made. So I don't know.
Right.
Well, I don't like it. I don't like it when you can feel an inconsistency coming, because it takes you out of the film. Like the whole film, I was thinking, okay, so either Jason Patrick Michael has got to kill Max, or he can't kill anybody. Maybe Jamie Gertz will kill Max. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, just like the whole film, I'm thinking like that. And the more inconsistent it gets, the more you're taken out and you're trying to work it out rather than, you know, enjoying the story.
Yeah.
This would be a good question for Eileen. I mean, is there such a thing as a half-pyre?
Yeah, half-pyre.
She could tell us. She knows all that crap.
Right.
Is Jason Patrick only good at being half vampires and trying to make it so the boat never goes below 55 miles an hour? I think so. All right. So we don't know really if he's a vampire or not. Who cares? I do want to say this about the movie before we get to clips. I love a film that has ridiculous deaths. Deaths that are over the top that you don't know are going to be that crazy, that are just ridiculous. That is one of my favorite things in movies. And when they're just such downers or just so like, oh, he got pushed off the edge or, oh, he, you know, got his head knocked off or whatever. Well, I guess that was cool in Speed. But anyway, I want to see just the worst deaths ever. And this movie had great, great vampire deaths.
And they even set it up by saying, no two vampires die the same way. Like, okay. Yeah. But didn't have to do that. But, it, you know, you can still...
Oh, yeah, Feldman said that. I think I have that clip, actually.
Right, he got it from one of my favorite tropes in the movie, which is the Book of All Knowledge.
Mm.
Boy, if you just paid attention to the Book of All Knowledge, we'd all be fine.
We'd be done. All right, well, let's move on to some clippage. And first one is when they show up at the house to find Grandpa playing dead, which was weird, and I still don't understand why he did it. But here is that scene.
Dad?
Looks like he's dead.
No, he's just a deep sleeper.
If he's dead, could we go back to Phoenix?
Playing dead. And from what I heard, doing a damn good job of it, too.
Dad! Oh, Dad.
Oh, you.
Devil.
You got us there.
Oh.
That was just an homage to the guy who was supposed to play that part.
I didn't see that coming.
Oh my gosh. Yes, that is what that was. But I don't understand the joke. Like, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, what? You're just an old guy laying down on the porch. That's not where you sleep. That daughter's retarded.
Yeah.
Oh, he's just a deep sleeper, honey.
I'm just a deep sleeper.
No wonder your husband left.
I've been told.
Her husband left because she's crazy.
Yeah, Diane Weiss was so well known for playing intelligent moms in the 80s and 90s.
She was. I was disturbed that I found her kind of cute now. Never had anything for her when I was growing up.
She was all right back in the, well, it's because we're old now and we look at her.
Yeah,
and
maybe that was it.
She was younger than me then. Hubba hubba.
Now, are we gotten to the point where we're now relating to the dumb parents in these movies?
Yeah, no.
Maybe a little.
Some stupid kids.
I haven't seen it yet. It's on my list of shame. I really want to watch it, but that HBO show In Treatment, I heard she was really great on there.
She was great. Mm. All first season, she was.
And on Law and Order for a while, she was DA. For one of the Law and Orders. Don't remember which one, but anyway, she's a fine actress. I like her.
Yeah.
Wouldn't give much here to do, but whatever.
No, nope.
Okay. Moving on to weird. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah. Weird dude singing. I don't remember this. Oh no, this is that guy. The guy was boogieing.
Yeah, Tim Capello and all kind of sax.
I still believe. In 87, I was interested in a budding band that no one had ever heard yet called Metallica. And I was really interested in Ozzy's freaking Killer of Giants tour. And we weren't into muscle dudes playing saxophone
Exactly. Yeah, that was weird.
It was totally weird.
There's a lot of homoerotic imagery in this movie.
Schumacher.
Oh, absolutely. Now that I think about it.
Schumacher. That's why.
So it was like Kenny G on steroids. It was really.
We would have associated anyone playing a sax with Kenny G at that point.
Yeah,
that's true.
Hey, was it Time to Kill? That was a Denzel Washington and Seabiscuit, right?
Yeah.
Or if I got that wrong.
That was the
Pelican Brief.
Oh, I'm thinking of Pelican Brief. Yeah, Time to Kill is great. That's the one with
Monica Potter, I think, and McConaughey.
Samuel L. Jackson. And that's a great movie. All right, sorry. There's a little side move there. Here we have Grandpa telling them the rules now that they've moved into his crappy house.
Talk about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Rules! We got some rules around here. Second shelf is mine. That's where I keep my root beers and my double-thick Oreo cookies. Nobody touches the second shelf but me.
Can you guys think that... Do you think that's him, or is he doing an old man voice? Like, hey, you don't touch my cookie. It's just so...
I'm sure it's a little bit over the top, but yeah.
Maybe.
But Grandpa just told us where all the goodies are.
I know, dude.
Like that little cardboard flap's going to stop me.
And they're called double stuff, Grandpa. Come on.
Yeah, what do you call them? Double layered?
Double thick or double layered?
Double stacked. Did they say double stacked? Stacked?
Or who knows?
Maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe this is before double stuff and he made his own.
Yeah, maybe he is terrible. Maybe that. I kind of like the guy in Tron. I kind of found him just slightly annoying in this movie. Just a little bit.
By the way, did any of you ever tear up an entire box of Oreos and make a, you know, 20 stuff or 40 stuff?
No, cookie? But I have eaten an entire bag of Oreos.
Oh, yeah.
Just didn't stack them. Well, I stacked them all right.
I stacked them in my gut.
They came right out the same way they went in, as I recall. But I used to love Oreos, and then I read something somewhere, and I don't know if this is even true.
Don't ruin Oreos.
They're not like gross, but they're supposed to have 9 separate chemicals in them that are supposedly addictive to most people.
Yeah. I absolutely believe that.
Because you can never stop, dude, right? Like you eat one and go, oh, shite. Ugh. Give me another one.
Cheetos must have all of those.
Yes. Especially spicy hot Cheetos. I could eat those now. Except my keyboard to have a little red dots.
Damn you, Grandpa, and your root beer and double stuffed Oreos.
You've caused us to derail again. All right. Meet Max and get a job.
You have a generous nature. I like that in a person.
It's a pickup line.
My name's Max.
I'm Lucy.
How are you?
Hello.
That's my dog, Thorn.
Hi, Thorn.
Say hello, Thorn. Well, how may I help you this evening?
Hello.
We have it all. The best selection of videotapes in Santa Carla.
Ah, the best selection of videotapes.
Video. I love that.
Tapes. Anyway.
They totally dated themselves.
That guy in his midnight video store in the middle of the boardwalk. So
love
he could
that.
Be a vampire and nobody would know.
What better place to rent movies than on the boardwalk?
Spoiler. He's a vampire, just so people know.
You don't say.
Let's meet Corey Feldman, talking comics, hanging out, being suspicious, doing his whatnot. Here it is.
Got a problem, guys? Just scope in your civilian wardrobe.
Oh, wait, I got to stop there. That weird coat shirt thing?
That trench coat, that Hawaiian trench coat?
That was so bad. Did we people? Yeah. I didn't dress like that. Did you guys? Nobody did.
I never wore that.
Okay. Never.
Just making sure. Only Corey Feldman.
Oh, I hear Randy's sarcasm of, yes, we all dressed like that. And don't try and say that
I
you
never
didn't.
Wore a coat that was like, it was Don Johnson on the elbows, but then down to his ankles on the length.
It was a trench coat. I wore a trench coat, but it was always blue jean trench coats. Those kind of things.
Did you roll your sleeves up, though?
No.
I'm sorry, did you just say you wore a denim trench coat?
Sweet. Yeah.
Because that's worse.
That's awesome.
Actually.
That's awesome.
Well, it's not like an acid wash. It was a dark black.
You're digging a hole here, buddy.
I want to see this. Pictures.
It was sweet. Right. I have pictures, actually.
I believe it was sweet. I have no doubt. Oh, I didn't finish the clip. Here.
Pretty cool, huh?
For a fashion victim.
Yeah.
Listen, buddy, if you're looking for the diet frozen yogurt bar, it went out of business last summer.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
Only 5 in existence.
4, actually. I'm always looking out for the other 3.
Yeah, right.
That was terrible.
Exactly.
Wow. Don't put the 90s with the 400s. Well, I could told you that. I don't have to explain why. You don't put the 90s with the 400s.
Numerical.
How about you put them exactly with the 91s and the 92s? and what are you doing having 90s and 400s out on the current shelf?
Yeah.
For Pete's sake? Those should be double bagged with an acid-free board.
We're such nerds. This is the part that gave us the biggest trouble.
Yeah, where they got hung up on the comic book stuff. It was all Superman stuff, by the way. They didn't seem to care about anything. There was Superman and Vampires Attack or whatever the hell.
Yeah,
that
the
was.
Ones apparently ran in their own private press there or something.
Yeah, the fake one. I don't like horror comics.
Yeah. There's not even a comics code stamp on that one. Come on.
All right. How are those maggots? Asks Jack Bauer.
How are those maggots? Maggots, Michael. You're eating maggots. How do they taste?
Leave him alone.
Leave him alone. Let's stop it.
No. He's eating maggots is my only line.
That is so cliched. Is there ever a movie with teenage boys and girls where a girl doesn't say leave him alone to another boy?
Stop it. Mm-hmm. Stop it. No.
You're being mean.
I can't stop doing that maid a bit.
All I know is if you want to shut a teenage guy up, have sex with him. He'll stop asking questions immediately.
Especially if you're Jamie Gertz.
Yeah.
Cutie. She has a weird mouth, but anyway.
Whatever.
You know me, I can't find the positive in the girls in our movies. Just can't do it.
I'd kiss her.
Grandpa wants to smell good for his hot date with the widow, whatever her name was. And this is what he decides to do.
Hey, anything around here that might pass for aftershave?
How about some Windex, Grandpa?
Yeah, let me try some of that, huh?
You have a big date tonight, Grandpa?
Come on.
That was pretty funny. That was over the top. That Grandpa part was a little bit over the top.
I mean, who's
so unnecessary to anything film related. It was just the cheapest joke they could come up with. Oh, Grandpa's clueless.
Put Windex on. But see, here's the problem. It's his house. Why is he asking everyone else, does anything around here look like aftershave to you? It's your house, Grandpa.
How about some of this Old Spice, Grandpa?
You dumbass.
Sorry, I'm never walking around in here. I'm just laying on the porch all day long, hoping somebody shows up.
It's like I pull my dead joke on him.
Exactly.
I'm old. I'm dead.
Just about every movie we do, I try to find a clip I can use later in some other episode. You know, like stuff like that.
There is a hole in the roof.
Slurp my butt. Ding dong diddly.
You know what I mean. That kind of stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think I found a new one. Oh. It came from this line. We'll hear the whole line first, and then I'll play the one. Here it is.
Mike, what happened?
Nanook.
What about Nanook? What'd you do to my dog, you asshole?
Nothing. I didn't hurt him. He bit me. This is my blood.
Why'd he bite you, Mike? Huh? What'd you do to him?
He was protecting you.
All right, so now we have...
What'd you do to my dog, you asshole?
That's going
to
be here forever.
Nice.
That's right before the next line.
Yeah, it's right before the line I like the most, which is where he yells at him as he's running away. You're a shit-sucking vampire! I just had to say, hey, he's actually blood-sucking. Oh, never mind.
Yeah. They just keep changing the vampire mythology.
Right. 1 minute it's blood, the next minute it's human excrement. Can they please make up their mind?
Yeah. I like the next line, which he said, you wait until mom finds out you're a vampire.
Yeah, that was pretty good. And then what he meant to say was, wait till mom never finds anything out until the end of the movie is what he meant to say. He's a vampire, all
right. You did the right thing by calling us. Does your brother sleep a lot?
Yeah, all day.
Does sunlight freak him out?
He wears sunglasses in the house.
Bad breath, long fingernails.
Yeah, his fingernails are all a bit longer. He always had bad breath, though.
He's a vampire, all right.
What's the other thing on his face? See, and it's funny. I was thinking about this while we were watching the movie, is that there aren't really any memorable quotes that are, you know, that people use when they talk about the movie. Like Big Lebowski, everybody says, true. Oh, the dude abides and this and that. But Lost Boys, I mean, there's really, you know, there's nothing.
What are you talking about? I use burn rubber does not mean warp speed every day.
What the, what does that mean? No, drive forward doesn't mean drive in reverse, dumbass.
Yeah.
But there's not. It's not like, you know, anything that I think they meant, that they intended to be a soundbite from the movie. Nothing really came from that. Oh, death by stereo? No, not really.
No, that was horrible.
Yeah.
Well, here's some more advice from the Frog Brothers talking about what they think is happening and what will happen.
So then the dogs started chasing my mom like the hounds of hell and vampires everywhere.
We've been aware of some very serious vampire activity in this town for a long time.
Santa Carla's become a haven for the undead.
As a matter of fact, we're almost certain that ghouls and werewolves occupy high positions at City Hall.
Kill your brother. You'll feel better.
Yeah. Frog Brothers. All right. You know who you are, but you... Oh, this is great. So right after this big horrible killing, this massacre of some dudes on the beach, Kiefer kind of cues him in on the future and his destiny. And I like these lines. It's great.
So, now you know what we are. Now you know what you are. You'll never grow old, Michael. And you'll never die. But you must feed.
I love the music.
Yeah.
Some sweet synth.
That's right.
You must feed, Michael. You must feed.
All right. See, maybe that was, and maybe you're right about the special edition having the extra blood and gore, because that scene did strike me as,
it's a pretty bloody
scene.
Well,
I don't remember it being this. They're
chomping into heads and stuff and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't recall. Also, for a rated R movie, if it's going to be rated R anyway, you may as well jack your language up a bit. Not a single F-bomb in this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah.
But wow. Yeah, but you don't necessarily know it's going to be rated R. You know, like the King's Speech got rated R in the United States. It's rated PG in Canada. When they made that movie, they had no idea that it was going to get knocked with an R.
That's the reason why you record the F-bomb, just in case. You have each one of your cast members say it, just in case. Yeah.
insert it in whenever necessary.
That's right.
Mr. Russia's F-bomb that never got used. That's too bad. I mean, content-wise, is the King's Speech something that you would like? I mean, what does it even resemble a rated R film?
No, not at all.
Well, what the hell? I hate that. MPAA can suck it.
Yeah, it's maybe PG-13 because there is a scene where, you know, where the what's his name, Albert, is forced to, you know, to use cursing in order to get through a little part of his speech impediment. You know, so he's like bugger 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 bugger. You know.
Oh, so like, it's like it's like how Steve Martin did that long string of F-bombs in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and that automatically gave the otherwise PG-rated film an R rating. It's kind of like that, right?
Yeah. It's like that, only less gratuitous and much more germane to a perfectly good story.
Thanks, MPAA.
Hey?
You guys are awesome, as usual. All right, Corey Feldman knows how vampires die, and he describes it here.
I think I should warn you all. When a vampire bites it, it's never a pretty sight. No two bloodsuckers go out the same way. Some yell and scream, some go quietly. Some explode, some implode. But all will try to take you with them.
It's good advice.
My kids found that part laughable.
Yeah.
They came in at the very end and they laughed about that.
Well, what are you watching? It's stupid.
Don't judge me.
I'd laugh too. It's dumb.
I want to see a vampire implode.
Yeah, that would be funny. Thank you, Corey Feldman.
All right. Let's move on. Right click.
All right. Moving on to all the damned events. Oh, this is the end. This is the final quote from Grandpa. It's actually literally the final quote in the film. And he has just helped kill everybody with the biggest wooden stakes you've ever seen in your life. That was actually kind of cool.
Which he was doing earlier. Yeah, he was making those earlier.
Again, the deaths are great. Like, they're fun to watch. But anyway, here it is.
One thing about living in Santa Carla I never could stomach. All the damn vampires.
And scene. Roll the credits.
Exactly. Right. It perfectly set up for the end music. And
I loved it.
Dumb ending. But, okay, on the whole, I think the movie held up pretty good, and I liked it. I had a good time.
Was shocked.
There were some holes and problems.
I was shocked that it stood up as well. I mean, this is a true classic of American cinema. I mean,
whoa, look at you. I thought you hated it yesterday. I was
joshing you.
Oh, you were flapping to get some trouble.
I got flapping, it. Yeah. But no, really, I mean, the cinematography.
Uh-oh.
Aww.
Cinematography. I think you mean... You're back.
Cinematographers. The cameraman did really good. He even could pick people up.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was filmed really well. It looked good, you know, looked really nice. Schumacher has the chops when he's not an idiot. And I think in this case, he was not an idiot. Originally, it was supposed to be the director or the producer was, a guy that directed Superman 1 and 2.
Donner.
Richard Donner. And he was all wrapped up in it. And things were going so long in pre-production, he had to basically say, you guys, I can't do this. And went on to do the first Lethal Weapon.
Mm. I got Lethal Weapon to do.
And
hired
Schumacher. Is it Schumacher instead?
Schumacher.
Anyway, there you go. Those are clips. It's time for awards. Oh, wait. You know what? I did that in the wrong place. Here it is. time for awards. And this week's awards are, I think, appropriate for this film. Let's start with the Best Crime of the Decade Award, the Broad Daylight Holy Water Stealing.
And the wink and the nod.
Yep, for sure. I gave the Obi-Wan Kenobi Award this week to Feldman, possibly Grandpa, probably more Grandpa.
Oh, really? But, see, I'd go the other way. I'd say almost definitely the Frog Brothers.
I think the Frog Brothers are the Obi-Wans of this. Yeah. They're just so stupid. When the poop hit the fan, they kind of panicked and got all dumb.
Yeah, but Grandpa's like Admiral Akbar.
Yeah, that's true. Don't touch my root beer and my honeys. Ominous
they both
name.
Smell like Windex, as a matter of fact.
That's true. A little bit behind the ear. Ominous name for a dog award, Thorn.
I like Thorn.
Yeah. It's like that should be the Cujo Award. The Still Looks Amazing All These Years Later Award goes to Jamie Gertz. Mm-hmm. She really does look great. Mm-hmm. Best Death Award, I'm going to give it to the Bathtub Vampire and the Aftermath, although Arrow Through the TV Dude was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that guy too. Best Mullet Award goes to Marco / Bill from Bill and Ted. Star Trek Award goes to, I don't know. I looked and looked. I was sure that, what's his name? Dodge Ram voice guy was at least on Star Trek once. But I couldn't find
Star
Trek.
He had to be.
I'm sure he was.
If nothing else, there's the line, warp speed.
Yeah, very good. That'll be it for now. I'm sure someone will let us know if we missed it. But that guy specifically, his voice, when I hear it, I think of Star Trek. And I don't know why. So
his name is Edward Herman.
Yep. I looked and looked. If you see that, let me know. The So Badass It Still Holds Up Award goes to Jack Bauer's character. Mm-hmm. And the Most Clueless Mother of All Time Award, the mom. Soundtrack grade, I'd give it an awesome for all the 80s stuff. I loved some of the songs they picked. The actual score, I guess, was kind of whatever. It was synthy and all right. Mm. I didn't know Schumacher, by the way, that did... what's the thing called? Phantom of the Opera. I didn't know he directed that.
I didn't know that.
That was him too. Yeah. I mean, he's
didn't
got
know that.
It's funny. When he's good, he's really good.
Yeah, he's really on.
He has a knack for the flamboyant, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So that movie's, you know, that kind of production is probably perfect for him. But all right, let's move on to our Twitter post. And this week we'll start with Randy. Randy, sum this film up in 140 characters or less, please.
Lost Boys, Joel Schumacher doesn't suck as much as Stephanie Myers. What do you know?
That's a pretty, more no truer words have been spoken. Brian Ibbett.
Lost Boys, a two-hour MTV video with vampires that even talks about MTV. How meta.
That's true. How meta.
That's true. What's with all these MTV references lately?
Yeah.
It seems like there's a lot.
We're going through the 80s.
I guess. Everybody loves it.
That's what happens.
And then finally, Brian Dunaway.
The Lost Boys suck at Stephanie Myers, vampires glitter on the inside. All their vampires movie pale in comparison. Don't do drugs.
Is that why there's glitter on that blood? Because there was in the trivia too. There's blood. Yeah, they had glitter in the blood. Why is
oh,
that?
Oh no way! Really?
Is there some lore thing, or what?
Yeah, they're totally made of diamonds on the inside and whatever. I don't know.
And gold chips. They drink a lot of Goldschlager.
That's it. That's
their poop
it is.
Glitters.
Man. All right. Well, there you go. This is what I learned while you impressed your old lady girlfriend with the scent of Windex. If you read the TV guide, you don't need a TV.
Well, I love that. That was actually one of my favorite lines.
It's a pretty good line.
Yeah.
Vampires really like Jim Morrison because they're strange. Vampire motorcycles generate more wind than you'd expect. Mm. In Vampire Cave, Chinese food looks like bugs. When you want to kill somebody,
can you say that with the Russian comedian
in Soviet cave?
Sure enough,
I don't know. I can't do a Russian voice. Shmirnov. That's a drink,
Yakov,
isn't it?
Yakov Shmirnov. Yeah,
that is Shmirnov. Shmirnov Ice. I'm thinking of. Anyway,
yes. Unfortunately,
you know me and my drink knowledge. When you want to kill some beach campers, do it with Run DMC in the background.
Yeah.
That was great. What song was it though? It was the one with
another cover.
Yeah, another cover. That's true. A taxidermist house is a really dangerous place to have a vampire fight. And finally, what the hell kind of name is Laddie?
Yeah, that kid was scary.
Yeah, it's like they spent more time coming up with good names for the dogs than they did for the people.
Yeah, they did. Thorn would have been a cooler name for the kid.
Right. Nanook was
the dog should have been Laddie. Come on.
Star.
Right. Laddie and Star should have been the dogs. all right, good times. Before we finish out, some quotes from Scott Fletcher. We can't, we would be in trouble if we didn't do this. Here's one from Scott Fletcher, speaking of maggots.
Maggots, Michael. You're eating maggots. How do they taste?
Nice. Now, here's a blooper from him. This is him doing a reading of the top of the show and screwing up and sending it to me anyway. That's pretty funny.
Which co-stars Kiefer Sutherland? Which co-stars Kiefer Kiefer Sutherland?
So now the soundboard now has
Kiefer Sutherland
and both. So great. Anyway, and then another one. Let's see. Here it is.
Death by Stereo.
Now, I compared that to the actual one, which is
Death by Stereo.
It's pretty good.
Fletcher wins.
Fletcher wins every time.
Fletcher wins.
Fletcher always wins. Are you kidding? The guy's full of win. Mm-hmm. I got an email from a listener. We like to do at least one of these a week, and this comes to us from Troy this week. Says, hello again, guys. Let me tell you, I love the Frog Pants shows. You guys keep up the fantastic work. You keep me up. Anyway, I wanted to make a suggestion for a future Film Sack movie. The movie strikes me as prime Film Sack material and happens to be one of my favorite 80s movies of all time. It's Big Trouble in Little China. Keep on moving on, Troy. Troy, you'll be happy to hear that because it's not on streaming currently. Mm-hmm. I had to do some pulling. My friend Corinne, who is the she's basically in charge of the planning committee for Nerdtacular 2011, told me the other day, like, whose leg do I have to hump to get that movie covered on FilmSack? She didn't actually say those words. But I said, oh, well, we'd do that if we just get a hold of the film. She has made that possible. We will be doing this movie right here on FilmSack, whether it's on streaming or not.
Oh, wow.
So
awesome.
Coming soon.
Speaking of, I just got a Blu-ray in the mail today.
Yeah. Oh, that's not bad. Canada finally got the movie.
Wow.
Did you get yours yet, Ibbot?
Oh, yeah. Got mine a week and a half ago.
Yeah, got mine after. 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I just walked next door and handed it to you.
Pretty much.
Yeah, the good news about that is we'll also be doing an episode covering Flash Gordon, the Blu-ray version of Flash Gordon.
Thanks
to a fan who we'll give full credit on in that episode. So those are both coming as well. However, next week... Oh, my list is not up. What are you doing, Scott?
I can tell you.
What's next week?
I thought we were supposed to be keeping you up.
No, you're keeping me up. Commando. Oh my gosh, Commando. Gabba, gabba, gabba. All right, Commando is next week. I can't wait.
Alyssa Milano.
Scotty.
Yeah.
Remember when I said I would kill you last?
Yeah.
You know how long it's been since I've seen Commando? Here's how long. I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about. That's how long it's been.
Ooh, nice.
So I'm excited to. It'll be like new. And right after that, we have Free Jack. Oh,
Free Jack!
Some Emilio Estevez versus Mick Jagger action.
Yep.
Finally, a really crappy movie.
Yeah, finally. Ever since Retrograde, we were hoping for a really bad movie. And there it is, Mick Jagger in the flesh. All right, awesome. Well, I cannot wait for that. Can't wait to be back here again. In the meantime, go check out show notes for this episode and all others at filmsack.com. Check out the forums from there as well. Our email address is filmsack@gmail.com, and you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/filmsack. Leave us reviews on iTunes. We love those. You guys are very kind-hearted, most of you anyway. Thank you for the 5-star reviews. And for Randy Jordan. We'll see you next week for Commando.
Aloha. Corey Haim is dead.
Corey Haim is dead. Paul is dead. Beep, 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 beep.
Yes, if you play that backwards,
it says Corey Haim will die, is what it says.
Is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.